Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
This is a story that is impacting parents much further than the Dublin 15 area, but we're going to focus on Dublin 15 for this bit of the show, because 17 known children in the Dublin 15 area don't have an appropriate school place for September. We're going to be speaking to some of the parents affected by this and find out why their kids can't get places in school. All of the kids in question here are on the autism spectrum and have differing needs and need specialised education. So let's talk to a few of the parents who are involved in this campaign. In fact, they've set up an Instagram account that you might be interested in following, and it's called D15 School for All. And on their bio, it says, every child deserves a chance to have an education. It shouldn't have to be a battle. So I have a number of parents joining me on the line to find out what the situation is. Katrina is the first. Katrina, good afternoon and welcome to Lunchtime Live.
Hi, Adrian.
So, Katrina, tell us about why, firstly, this campaign has started, this D15 School for All campaign.
So, my son, Rain, is five. He doesn't have an appropriate school place for September. Word going around talking to the parents from his school, it seemed to be a big issue across the board. So, I reached out on Facebook and Instagram, and we'd already been at a protest that was held in Dublin 15. So I decided with one of the other parents that we should all come together and make a video and put our children's faces out there so people could see that, you know, sorry, I'm getting emotional, and that, you know, every child has a right to go to school and they shouldn't be rejected just because, you know, they're different from any other child.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Rian. He's 5 years old and he currently is attending By Your Side, which is an early intervention preschool.
Yeah. And so, once he started in that preschool, he came on leaps and bounds. He started speaking more, communicating more. You know, he's better social interactions with people. He's able to do a lot more things independently that he could have before. So it's been like a big help to us that he's been there and he's getting the support and the appropriate support that he needs.
Okay, but obviously that sort of support kind of comes to an end because he would be expected to start in primary school.
Yeah, so he is five now, so his early intervention preschool will only take children to the age of five. So we've applied to numerous schools in the area. We've been refused from every single one. His preschool can't take him to stay on once he's six, so he literally has nowhere to go in September.
And obviously that brings with it great fear, because you just described how Rian has come on in leaps and bounds in preschool because he's getting he's getting the education that he requires. So what is your biggest fear then? I mean, it seems like an obvious question, but what is your biggest fear September?
My fear is that he's going to regress. Like, he's not going to have that social interaction with other children. Like, he's only starting now to play side by side with other children. If he has nowhere to go in September, he could lose those interactions with the children, or he could be like making good progress on one thing and that support is just going to stop and he might regress back to where he was before.
You've applied, and in fact all of the parents I'm going to be talking to have applied to every single school in the Dublin 15 area and beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
And rejection from everyone.
Everyone, yeah. It's like they're all just full. And then there's this situation that new classes are being announced, but these new classes already have children in the schools that aren't getting the appropriate support. So obviously, and I've no problem with it, they're going to get priority to get a place in the new class. So we're still further down the line and away from getting in.
And I mentioned in the introduction that in this campaign, we're talking about 17 known children. That implies that there may well be others who aren't even aware of this campaign in the Dublin 15 area that also can't get school places.
Yeah, well, that's just the people that have reached out. And there's actually 111 children in Dublin 15 without appropriate support in school at the moment.
So what is being done here? What obviously you've been, you as a group have been on to the department, you've had protests, and what sort of reply are you getting?
We've had no reply. So we actually handed a letter in, some of the parents handed a letter in to the Department of Education for the attention of Hildegard Nocton to arrange a meeting with the parents to discuss this situation and this issue, and there's been no response. We've been in touch with the CNOS, who is a special education needs officer. So they're supposed to offer support and help to the parents. But the only forthcoming information from them is, have you applied to all the schools? Will you follow them up? Would your child accept a mainstream class, which wouldn't be appropriate? So no, we wouldn't. It's just, there doesn't seem to be any support out there for us at all whatsoever.
And literally, you're faced with a situation where you could be left high and dry with no school place for Rhian come September.
Yeah.
And as the days go on, that's looking more and more likely.
Yeah, it is very likely. Like, there has been a couple of new schools announced, but they're not even built yet.
So what will you do?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. We've exhausted all options. We're actually hoping to plan another protest now outside of Dáil on Thursday with all the children's faces yet again. Like, we shouldn't have to put our children's faces out there just to be heard.
And on that Instagram page, which I said is called D15 School for All, that video with all the children, it's extremely powerful. I watched it earlier on. But again, as you said, you shouldn't have to put your children's faces out there just to get a bit of attention.
Yeah, and there's been parents reaching out to me from Cork, from Waterford, same things. They've tried everything. They don't know what to do. There's parents reaching out to me that said, we were in this situation in Dublin 15, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. So nothing is changing. The girl that actually helped me make this video and raise awareness is in Rhian's preschool, and she's going to be in this situation next year, and she feels she has to fight now because it's just going to be the same thing next year. There's no forward planning. There's no, like, effort being put in to find these children. We have to come together as a group and gather this information ourselves. The Department of Education, the NCSE, they're not out looking for this information. It's the parents doing the work.
In terms of his educational needs, you said that mainstream education would not be appropriate for Rhian. So if that was, if a mainstream place was offered, you just couldn't accept it. Is that right?
I couldn't accept it. No, Rhian would need one-to-one to support to help his needs, to help him sit down and focus and do his work. He wouldn't survive in a mainstream classroom. He'd probably be just left to sit in a corner to his own device. He wouldn't benefit. He wouldn't learn.
Where at the moment in preschool, as you said at the start, he's coming on in leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets one-to-one support for the majority of the day.
Let me go to Aisling, who's on the other line. Now, Aisling, you have a little boy called Ellis Riley, 5 years old as well, and you've applied to nearly 30 schools at this stage.
That's right, Adrian, I have, yep. All over, from all the schools in Dublin 15, I have applied to schools in Ashbourne, in Dunboyne, in Donabay, in Manor Street, in Fairview, in Finglas, in Cadbury. And every single one of them, we have got a rejection letter from.
That's extraordinary.
Every single one of them.
And again, you're applying to schools in places that are a very long distance from where you live. But that so desperate is the
That's
situation.
What we have to do.
That's what I was about to say, yeah.
We have to, like, it's to a point where if we get offered a skill, like I'm obviously in Dublin 15, if I get offered a skill over in Dunleary, and this is the thing, Adrian, we're supposed to be grateful of being offered a skill anywhere within this county. We should be grateful that our kids are being offered a skill place. Not that they're not getting, like, we want a skill place obviously within our local area, but if we get offered a skill place in Dunleary or Fox Rock or wherever it may be, we're supposed to be grateful and we're supposed to accept that.
But the fact of the matter is that you haven't been offered any places in any of those areas.
None of them. Absolutely none of them. Nope. And, like, Adrian, I have been on, so I have applied to, as you said, nearly 30 schools now at this stage. I have been on other radio shows speaking out on behalf of my Ellis. my Olive has been brought up twice in the Dáil by Paul Donnelly TD. He was addressed, his individual case was addressed twice to Hildegard Nocton, and her response was that she is trying to get more senos on the ground.
Trying, now, but still hasn't succeeded.
No, but the senos on the ground, so the senos are supposed to support the people, Adrian, support the parents in trying to secure a skilled place. Yeah? They're supposed to help us from the get-go. I got a list of skills last year from my seno to apply to skills for Ellis. The list that they gave me, so I bear in mind, I'm applying for a skill in September 2024 to 2025. The list that I got from my seno was a list of skills from 2022 to 2023. Some of the application dates on that was absolutely incorrect. So the first thing I had to do was ring every single skill on that list and confirm their application dates on when they opened their applications and when they closed. If I had gone by the letters that the Sino had given, the list the Sino had given, I would have missed some applications. So I had to ring around all them skills. I then applied to every single skill. I printed out every single report my son had, and I went to the skills individually and handed them out in person so I could be in the skill, so I could be a presence in the skill. Drove around to every skill and handed them in. The Sino, I didn't hear from our Sino until I contacted them seeking them out.
So you personally visited and handed in an application letter to 30-odd schools and got rejected by each and every one of them. So tell me a little bit about your little boy, Ellis. He's non-speaking and uses a device to communicate. So tell me how he's progressing.
So Ellis is, as you said, 5 years of age. He is currently non-speaking and he uses an AAC device to communicate. He attends PALS preschool over in Finglas, and like Katrina's little Rian, has come on leaps and bounds. My Ellis, although he can't speak, Adrian, my Ellis can spell, and my Ellis can do multiplication, addition, subtraction, you name it, he can do on that device. Since getting that device, we only knew he could spell and do everything like that since we got that device. He is coming on massively, leaps and bounds in his preschool. His preschool, honestly, their facilities, the teachers, the support, the training, everything is A1. Like, they have a big indoor playroom, they have a playground outside, they have a sensory room, they have a library, and they have other classes to bring kids if needs be. You know, the support is just absolutely amazing. He is such a beautiful soul. He is absolutely amazing. And, you know, he deserves, Adrian, a school place. He's just like every other child. But because he is non-speaking and because he is autistic, he's been denied a right to an education. And that's what it boils down to. It is for no other reason than him being autistic and needing extra support. Like, our Sinos are ringing us. I didn't hear from the Sinos until Paul Donnelly brought Ellis up in the Dáil. Then I started to receive a phone call. I received a phone call from my Sino saying, "We have great news, Ashley. School Breed Collini in Dublin 15 is opening up an autism class for September." And I said, "But that's an all-girls school." And they said, "Yeah, for your Eilis Riley."
My Eilis Riley
is Ellis Riley, and he's a boy. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we had him on our system as female." So that was fine. I got another phone call then, and they asked me, "Have you found a school place for Ellis yet?" I said, "No, I haven't. Would you consider putting Ellis into mainstream?" And my response back was, "Would you consider jumping into the deepest end of the pool if you couldn't swim without any life jacket? No, you wouldn't. So I'm not going to do that to my son. I'm not going to put him into an ocean full of sharks for him to be eaten away at, because that's what would happen. He's not speaking. He can't go into a class of 20-odd, maybe 30-odd kids." And then their last phone call there was only the other day, and they rang and they said, "Ashton, have you found a school place yet for Ellis?" "No, I haven't." Just to let you know, you can be contacting the schools as well to follow up. I have been doing that. I have gone down every avenue. And they
but this, I assume, is after already having gotten rejection letters.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And they know, because I've been in constant contact with them saying, because we had some rejection letters because they take the oldest child first, which I 100% agree with, Adrian. I had another rejection letter because they take the youngest child first. So a four-year-old were getting a school place ahead of Ellis, who will be 5 and a half in September. Then I was getting rejection letters for not being in catchment areas. And then the school that I am in the catchment area for don't go by catchment areas. So we're caught in every aspect. So I was constantly in talks with the Fino saying, look, I'm just being met with rejection after rejection. Their last phone call to me, do you know what they said? Do you still want us to look for a school place for Ellis?
This is extraordinary, I have to say. And obviously, as with Katrina a minute ago, where she described her fear is that her child will regress. Obviously, that's your fear as well, if there is no school place for Ellis in September.
Absolutely. Mm. Like, he gets so much support. As I've said again, he's come on leaps and bounds. From him having that constant one-on-one support to not having anything, that would have a massive impact on everything. But as well, Adrian, Ella's not having a school place, obviously it will have a massive impact on him. But what they don't realise is it has a massive impact on the whole family. Like, for parents that are out there working, if their child doesn't have a school place come September, what are they supposed to do? Give up work? They can't, because they're probably working to pay for the private therapies that their kids are not receiving. I have a 2.5-year-old son, and I wasn't able to accept a creche place for him for September yet, because I don't know where my son's going to be in September.
Right, so it's literally affecting... It's affecting every level of family life. Stay with me for a second, Aisling, if you can, please, because I'm joined on the line by a third parent also involved in this campaign for the at least 17 children in the Dublin 15 area who can't get a school place. And Jane joins me on the line. Jane, your son Noah, who's also 5, was diagnosed with ASD a year ago. So what have you been doing with him in terms of education for the past year?
Hi, Adrian. So my son Noah, he's 5. He was diagnosed a year ago because he was previously in a normal preschool, the ECCE preschool, that all kids would go to. And they couldn't manage him. They couldn't cope with him. So he only used to go for an hour and a half every day. And each day I would be getting phone calls to come collect him. So we went privately and we got a diagnosis because we're on waiting list. So we went ahead and we got the diagnosis done, and I got him into By Your Side, the same school that Katrina's son goes to. And I think it's important to note, like, these are privately funded, okay? So the Department of Education provides a grant for us to be able to go to these schools. And you have to liaise with the NCSE, which is the National Council for Special Education. So when you're applying for these schools, I got a place, and for the grant to be able to pay for him to go here, I was working with the CNOs and getting the grant together, and there was a problem. There was a problem with signature. There was a problem when CNO was on holidays, and he was due to start in the September. And I was told, we haven't received your payment yet. So I privately paid for him until I could get that paperwork off to CNOs fixed and sorted and sent into the Department of Education to authorise the payment. And I paid €780 a week. And
sorry, say that again?
Yeah. €780 a week.
Good God.
Yeah. So all because the National Council of Special Education couldn't get the form signed. It was left on a desk. Somebody was on holidays. And the alternative, when I was told, you know, I'm paying this money, and they were like, well, you don't have to. You can wait until it's done. And you can't claim it back. I can't get any of that back. And I did it because it's my son and I wanted him in an education. But I mean, I think that can explain to you, like, what we're up against here. So he started and he paid it, and eventually the grant came through. But the support is there. He's come on leaps and bounds as well, and he's thriving. He went into that school and he was non-speaking, and now he's speak in sentences. He's a different child. He's sociable. So,
and obviously, again, as with Katrina and with Aisling, your little boy will take steps backwards if he doesn't have a school place in September, I assume.
Oh absolutely, yeah. He went into the preschool, the ECE preschool, and he was toilet trained, and he regressed when he was in that school, and it was a disaster. So he was fully toilet trained going into normal preschool. Within 6 months, he was completely, he was back wearing nappies. And now he's fully toilet trained, you know, even at night now. So, he's a different child because the supports and resources are there in this preschool.
So, what will you do, Jane, come September if there is no, as looks very likely at this stage, no school place for Noah?
Well, I think it's important to note that it's first of all a violation of law, and in the Education Act, every child is entitled to an appropriate education without barriers. Okay. So it's a breach of our child's right to an education, and it's unacceptable, right? So the two bodies who are tasked with ensuring that every child receives an education, they failed us. So, you know, when we ask for what's going to happen, what's going to do, all we're told, all we're met with is bureaucracy, delays and excuses, you know. So we're told, be patient, you know, understand the system, understand it's complex, you know. I don't care about any of that. I should not have to tell people that we are entitled, our child is entitled to an education. So the fact that this is against the law, it means that the only next step that I can take is to, you know, go legal and to take this legal, because what other choice do I have? So I've already sent a solicitor's letter to the Taoiseach, to the Taoiseach and to the Minister of Special Education.
Any reply?
2 weeks ago I sent that. I received notification that they received the letter. That was it.
That's it.
I have attended protests. I have attended at the Department of Education. I've handed over letters, from a collective letter from the parents requesting meetings to sit down to discuss this. We have heard nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, the CNO contacted me last week. Have I got a place in school? I don't know what more I can do. I've applied to 25 schools within Dublin 15, Meath and Kildare. And it, like the other two ladies, well, I'm the same, rejection because of catchment area. Well,
before I let you go, I'm just going to read a WhatsApp that came into us a moment ago. And it says, I'm a retired school principal and I'm crying listening to these ladies' stories. It is so typical of what parents with special needs children have to endure. Shame on our Department of Education and especially the NCSE and CNOs. There is no forward planning. With more effort, the NCSE and CNOs could sort this out. Sometimes I'm so ashamed to live in this country. And that's from a retired school principal. So that will just show you how inadequate that particular retired teacher believes our system is. And it is shameful listening to your stories. Let me just ask you one final question, Jane. What now in terms of your campaign, the D15 School for All campaign that you're all involved in, what next and how can people get involved?
I mean, share. I think the most important is to share our story over the social media platforms. And I mean, because ultimately, like, if once we're heard, like, we just have to keep our voice out there and start, you know, showing people that it might not affect you, but it affects everybody. Because even if they try to shoehorn these children into mainstream schools, the other kids are also then going to be affected, you know. So that's not a solution. Mm. Like, it affects everybody ultimately. It affects the children in mainstream if they're trying to put these children in with them, because that's not a solution. It doesn't work. Affects the whole, it disturbs the whole class. Yeah. So it does affect everybody, even if you think it doesn't.
Well, Jane, we're going to keep in touch with you and your group over the summer months. If you want to follow their campaign, D15 School for All is their Instagram account. There's a very powerful video up of their children and their need for education. And we will keep in touch with all of you over the summer months and keep our fingers crossed that this gets resolved before September. Thanks very much indeed, all of you, for talking to us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.